John chapter 6. Let's stand. If you're able to stand, we'll read the verses responsively. I'll begin in verse 1. And I'll read with you verse 2 and then verse 3. I'll read them together, verse 4. Okay? John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said, to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Familiar story, amazing miracle. Let's see what we can learn from it. Father, I pray your blessing upon the word of God today. Lord, I recognize that I need you more than I realize to enable me to preach thy word as this lesson, this miracle teaches us. And so I pray today that you'd please bless the message. Please use it in the hearts of your people. I do pray if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day that they get saved. Lord, I thank you for the woman in the 8:30 service that made a profession of faith. And I do pray that even today in this service, if there's a lost person, that they'd come to know Christ. But Father, for the believer, that we would learn again, perhaps for most of us, the truth that is declared here and taught here in this great miracle. And so I need you today. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in John chapter 6, we find the miracle that is referred to as the feeding of the 5,000. Twice in Scripture, we find the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously multiplying food to feed large crowds of people. The first time he does it is here in John chapter 6, feeding 5,000 men, besides women and children, also recorded, I'll mention that in a moment, in other places. Then there'll be a second time that he does this, where he feeds 4,000 men, the second time, recorded in Matthew chapter 15. Now, you would think that this miracle of feeding the 5,000 must be a pretty important miracle or lesson. Now, not that the others were not, but the reason I say that this is probably a pretty important miracle with a pretty important lesson attached is because it is the only miracle recorded in all 4 gospel records. The only one. We find it in Matthew 14 and Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, and then here in John chapter 6 as well. But then it is also the only miracle that is referred back to by Jesus Christ or the penman of the gospel on 5 different occasions. 5 different times they say things like this. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Remember the feeding of the multitude? It's similar to what is said in the Old Testament of the parting of the Red Sea. Throughout the Psalms and other books of the Bible, They point us back to that great miracle of the Red Sea. Similar here in the gospel records with this feeding of the 5,000. For example, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 9, Christ said, Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? He says to his disciples, don't you remember what I did with the 5,000?
Amen.
Did you forget? Obviously, there's a very important lesson that God wants us to get from this miracle.
Amen.
Perhaps it's a truth that you and I too often forget. This morning I'd like to notice, for us to notice, a phrase that we find Andrew stating here in verse 9 of our text. Notice we read, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Notice the phrase, but what are they among so many? As Andrew, one of the apostles, looks out at this hungry mass of people that has assembled there on the hillside, and he looks down and he sees in front of him a mere 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He asks the Lord Jesus Christ the question, what are these among so many? In other words, what can possibly be done
Amen.
With this?
Amen.
And Christ shows them.
Praise the Lord.
He shows them.
Praise the
Lord. This morning I'd like to preach on the subject, what are they among so many? If you have a hymn book handy, and you may or may not have one, hymn number 219 is a hymn entitled Little Is Much.
Amen.
Kitty Suffield, Kitty was her nickname, it says in our hymnal, Mrs. F.W. Suffield, born September 16, 1884. From the time that she was a young child, she wanted to be a concert musician. She was a talented musician. She was a lyric soprano. What that is, ask Brother Randall. I'm sure he can tell you. My understanding is a soprano that can hit high notes. Is that what that is? I don't know. He'll tell me later. She was a pianist as well. Her ambition was to use that to be famous, but something happened at the age of 19 in Kitty's life. You know what I'm going to say. She got saved.
Amen.
She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. After she was saved, she was on a train one day that got stuck in a heavy snowstorm, and a man named Fred Suffield was on that train as well. He guided the people off the train by lantern to his home and to safety. She later wrote Fred a thank you letter for his kindness, and the two began to correspond one with another. She found out that Fred was an evangelist, and she, of course, was a saved woman, and one thing led to another. They were eventually married. And she left her ambition for music in that respect for the world, and she traveled with her husband in evangelism and went on to write many gospel hymns and to see many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior.
Praise the Lord.
And she wrote this hymn, Little Is Much. And we know the rest of it when God is in it.
Amen.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling. To the harvest, calling you.
Amen.
Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it. And He'll not forget His own.
Amen.
The course goes on to read, a little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Those words mean a lot to a woman like her. There's a crown and you can win it.
Amen.
If you'll go in Jesus' name. She finishes it with, when the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child.
Amen.
Well done. Little is much when God
Amen.
Is in it. You know, the truth of that song is really the lesson of this miracle.
Amen.
You say, what is that lesson? That God can take ordinary people and the resources that they have,
right.
though weak and inadequate in human assessment, and He can take them and work through them for His glory if they will simply yield themselves to Him.
Amen.
Little is much
when
God is in it. Can I ask you this morning, are you yielding what you have to the Lord? Are you giving your lunch, if you will, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saying to Him, Lord, take what I have, even though it's little and insufficient, and use it for Your glory?
Amen.
And you'll be surprised if you did that.
Amen.
what he can do with you. What are some lessons that we learn from this miracle? Notice, first of all, the progress of the disciples. The progress. We read in verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. You know, chapter 6 of the book of John begins with the phrase, after these things. It's interesting. What things? Well, it's interesting that in chapter 5, if you remember, when we left the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in Jerusalem. He was there for a feast day. He was there and he came across an impotent man there at the pool of Bethesda. And he asked him that question, wilt thou be made whole? And the man answered, how can I, except some man bring me to the water? And of course we know, making a long story short, that Jesus Christ healed the man. Amen. Take up thy bed and walk. And that's exactly what he did. He took up his bed and he walked. Praise the Lord. And the Lord Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees did not like that. And so Christ used that opportunity to preach a message to the multitude that was there in Jerusalem. Amen. It's an amazing message. As to who Christ is, proving he is the very God of gods. Amen. His works and his words prove that he is God in the flesh. But now we find him in Galilee after these things. Well, that's putting it mildly.
Amen.
Between chapter 5 and chapter 6, about a year has passed since Bethesda. Christ has been, he's in Galilee. Think of some of the things he did. He chose his disciples. He healed the centurion's servant. He has, between chapter 5 and chapter 6, preached his Sermon on the Mount.
Amen.
He has preached the kingdom parables in Matthew 13. He has repeatedly crossed the Sea of Galilee, healing demoniacs, healing Jairus' daughter, healing blind men, healing the woman with the issue of blood. He has called his 12 apostles. He has sent them forth 2 by 2 in the area around Galilee. A lot has happened in this year. His disciples have been with him through it all.
Amen.
They've just recently heard of the death of the beloved John the Baptist between chapters 5 and chapter 6. And when chapter 6 begins, the 12 apostles have just returned from their preaching tour, and Christ is now taking them up into a mountain to get some rest. But they didn't get a whole lot of rest. Because we know from Mark chapter 6 and verse 33 that the people ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them and came together unto him. In other words, when he got in the boat to cross Galilee, the multitude that had been following him outran him on the shore there. And when he got there, there they were once again. So Christ takes his disciples and he brings them up into the mountain there. And here comes this crowd of people standing before them. And Christ, seeing the multitude with a heart of compassion, continues the day receiving them in Luke 9:11, healing them that have need of healing, and the day begins to wear away.
Right.
And here comes a problem. You say, what's the problem? People were hungry. They had nowhere to go. They had been with Jesus Christ, healing. He was healing them and speaking them and so forth. And the disciples had a suggestion in one of the accounts in the Gospels. They say, hey, send them away. Let them go get some food. And Christ does something.
Amen.
He says this in verse 5. Whence shall we buy bread? Verse 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In another account, he says this, give ye them to eat. Can you imagine what that was like? Give ye them to eat. And the disciples had no idea what to do. They were perplexed. They were confused. May I ask you this? Does that seem strange to you that they'd wonder what to do? I mean, for 2.5 years, they've been with the Master.
Amen.
For 2.5 years, they've been watching miracle after miracle. You'd think they'd turn and say, Lord, just tell us what to do and we'll do it. But that's not how they thought. And Christ knew that.
Right.
Why is he saying to them, give ye them to eat? I'll tell you why. He's trying to work in their hearts.
Amen.
He's trying to develop them spiritually.
Right.
He wants them to increase in their faith.
Amen.
Make stronger believers out of them. Not just in some of the things of life, but in all the things of life.
Amen.
He wants them to realize that with God, with Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
You know, although they'd seen all that, the point is this. Although they'd been with Christ all that time, they probably knew more about the Lord Jesus Christ than any other human being earthly at that particular time. They had more growing to do. They had more progressing in the in their spiritual lives. And may I remind us this morning, it's the same with me and you. You know, sometimes we have the idea that after a few years of being saved, or even many years of being saved, hey, I got this thing down pat. May I remind us, we don't.
Right.
We have not arrived. There is more progressing, there's more learning, there's more growing for you and I to do until we reach heaven. You see, it does not matter how long you've been saved. It does not matter how long you've been a member of Capital Baptist Church. It doesn't matter the past and how many things you've seen the Lord do in the past. It doesn't matter how many sermons you've heard, how many services you've sat through, how many times you've read through the Bible. All of us still have room to grow.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
When I said turn to John chapter 6, I'm sure some people thought, oh, I know this one. I've read this one dozens and dozens of times. Preacher, I've taught this in Sunday school. Preacher, I've heard sermons about this. I know what he's going to say. I guess I can just tune out this morning. No, you can't.
Right.
You may, but you shouldn't.
Right.
Because there's always progressing in the Christian life. There is always growing in the Christian life. He's always developing us. And here he's doing the same thing with them. Sometimes we think, well, I can miss a service or two. That won't hurt me. Excuse me. Well, you know, that's for those young Christians. They need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, they need to learn these things. But me, hey, I've got it down. I've heard it all. Have you?
No.
None of us can miss a service and not
Amen.
Be different spiritually because of it.
Right.
We should be here and realize we should. We think, I don't need preaching like others do. I've got this ministry thing down pat. I've taught Sunday school so long, I'll just skim over my lesson on Sunday morning and just give it out to them. Beware. Well, I know this story. It's the story of Jonah. I know this story. It's the story of Noah. I don't have to study this. Beware.
Amen.
We've not arrived.
Right.
They haven't either.
Amen.
You see, we all need to progress in our faith, just like these disciples did. Imagine every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the Master, and they still had more to learn.
Amen. Right.
And so do you and I. The progress of the disciples. And notice, secondly, not only the progress of the disciples, the problem with the disciples. They had a problem. You say, what was the problem? What was the big problem?
Amen.
Two things about this problem. First, we see the easy-to-see problem. The problem that we are, and it's called the, if you're looking for the outline, it's the problem of need.
Amen.
There's a need here. Here they are together. The day is running late. And of course, verse 5, Jesus says to them, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? It was a problem of need. You know, that's a problem all of us can see.
Right.
It's easy to see the need.
Right.
Stand up here and I say, we need Sunday school teachers. We need nursery workers. We need bus drivers. We need bus workers. There's a need out there. We look out into the world and we see the need of people to hear the gospel. That's an easy need. Imagine there were probably over 10,000 people here in this scene.
Right.
It says 5,000 men. Let's just say that perhaps many of them were married. That's 7,500. Add children to that. No doubt everybody was coming to see Christ because of the miracles he was performing. And so imagine yourself as the 12 apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ seeing 10,000 people out there. And he says, feed them.
Amen.
Feed them. They weren't just short of food. They had no food.
Right.
They had absolutely nothing. You see, this problem that the Lord brought to them was both a new problem and it was a huge problem.
Amen. Right.
Something they never faced before. Oh, they faced storms. They faced people that were sick. They faced so many other things. But this type of thing, they had never seen it before this time. It was new to them. They never saw anything like it. They were never asked to do anything like this by the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a new problem. I don't like new problems, do you? I like stuff I've dealt with before. I've been there. I know how to deal with that. Oh, yeah, this, I know how to deal with that. It's that new stuff that is always difficult. We don't know what to do. And this is what it was like here. It was also a huge problem. They had never been asked to meet such a need in their entire lives.
Right.
Humanly speaking, this task that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to them, told them to give ye them to eat, was more than difficult. It was absolutely impossible. Impossible. It was, in the minds of the human beings, an unreasonable request. Feed ye them? What do you mean, feed ye them? They're probably looking at each other. What's he saying?
Amen.
Maybe he means preach to them or something. No, feed them.
Amen.
Do you know that this is how God works with us?
Amen.
Doesn't God call us as believers, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that want to truly live the faith life, doesn't He call us to do things that are humanly impossible?
Right. Amen.
You say, well, I love it. Maybe you're not living for the Lord. Maybe you're not desiring to live by faith.
Right.
Didn't God say to Moses in the backside of the desert out of a bush, I want you to go and face the most powerful man in the world and look him straight in the eye, nose to nose, face to face, and say, let my people go. I want you to do that.
Right. Amen.
Huh? Me? Me? Yeah, you. Why not somebody else? I'm sure there's plenty of other people, Lord. Man, why did I have to come across this bush? Didn't God lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and bring them to a place where they were face to face with no way out? Before them was the Red Sea, and behind them was Pharaoh and his chariots running after them to destroy them. They were in an absolutely impossible situation. How did they get there? God led them there. God led them there. He told them to conquer the city of Jericho. What did he tell them to do? Do something that seemed unreasonable, something that seemed impossible. March around the walls once per day, and then the last day, march around seven times, and then shout at the walls.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Right.
And they'll come falling down.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Huh?
Amen.
Huh? How about Gideon? How about the story of Gideon as he was whittled down all the way down to 300 soldiers? And God told him to use what I would call a strange military tactics.
Amen.
You wanted to beat the Midianites? Don't take a sword. Don't take a catapult. Here's what I want you to take. Take an empty pitcher.
Amen.
Put a light inside. And go forth and take a trumpet in your other hand and blow the trumpet and break the pitcher and shout out the sword of the Lord Gideon, and you'll defeat the Midianites. Huh?
Amen. Right.
Huh? Didn't he tell those disciples as he was standing there on Mount Olivet before he ascended back to heaven, something that humanly speaking was impossible?
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Didn't the Lord give us, Capital Baptist Church, a local New Testament church, an assignment to not only reach Dover, but to reach our Judea, our Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth? We are all responsible for that here at Capital Baptist Church. Huh? The uttermost part?
Right.
Every bit of it?
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
See, God commands us many times to do things that are humanly impossible.
Praise
Sometimes he asks us to go in a ministry that we don't think we can do.
Right.
Well, I can't be a pastor. I can't go to the mission field. We think, I can't teach a Sunday school class. I don't even know the difference between 16 ounces and a pound. How can I do that?
Amen.
You see, this is the way God works. Many times He commands us to do things that we don't have the resources for.
Right. Amen.
And we look at that and say, I don't know. You see, they saw the problem of need. But may I say this? That wasn't the real problem.
Right.
The real problem with the disciples was not a problem of need. The real problem with the disciples and with you and I in those types of situations is this, is a problem of faith.
Right.
A problem of faith.
Amen.
Well, you know, most of us have learned, we've learned to live the Christian life without faith.
Right.
We have. We know what we're doing. We know the motions. We know the mechanics of it. And there's no, and we don't have to exercise faith. Yet God repeatedly puts things in front of us because without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Right.
And so it's interesting because when we see this problem here, we see two responses from His disciples. We see Philip's response in verse 7. And then we see Andrew's response in verse 8. And what's interesting is these two responses probably characterize most of us in this room. Most of us are either like Philip or like Andrew. There could be a third option, but most of us fit right here. Notice Philip's response when Christ asks him, when shall we buy the bread that these may eat? He said, how are we going to feed them? Philip says in verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Philip's response, watch this, was the response of reason.
Amen. Right.
Human reasoning.
Right.
You see, Philip figured out something. He figured out that if he pulled all the money of the disciples together, they had about 200 pennies. How much you got? How much you got? Judas, what's in the bag? Lord, we got 200 pennyworth. By the way, 200 pennyworth is about 30 bucks. And Philip's saying, hey, we got about 30 bucks. So, you know, even if we went out and bought something to eat, it wouldn't be enough for everybody to eat. They couldn't even get a little. Point is this, Philip's answer is the way many of us answer things when we're challenged with an issue. It's an answer of simple math. 1 + 1 = 2. It's an answer of reason. It's the answer of logic. It's the answer of seeing only the physical and dismissing the supernatural.
Amen.
By the way, if we dismiss the supernatural, what makes us any different than the denominational
Amen.
Churches?
Right.
There's no difference. It's the answer of reason. But then we see another response, and I'll elaborate on both of these in a moment. We see the response of Andrew. I believe his response is a response of reluctance. So in verse 8, one of his disciples, so Andrew decides to say something. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, well, there's a lad here, and I'm again dramatizing it. There's no well there, but there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So he says, you know, hey, we do have something here. There's something here. There's some fish and there's some barley loaves, but really, what are those? What can we do with them? You see, Andrew had some faith. But he kind of laughed at his own suggestion. Going to the mission field? Well, you know, yeah, it could happen. But, you know, me? Serving the Lord in this ministry? Yeah, there's a need there. I see it. But you know, me? You see, Philip was this way. Philip was, if it doesn't make sense, it can't be done. That's Philip's thought. It was, if we don't have the money in the bank, then we can't do it. Hello. Let's just wait till we get all the money for the HVAC system to move forward. Let's just wait till we get all this money piled up to move forward for God. After all, you know, have to make sure it's there. Where's faith in that?
Amen.
I know I'm scaring some of you right now. Some people have the idea, I can't teach a Sunday school class. No, not me. That's true. I can't. People don't get saved by door knocking. It just doesn't make sense. We'll never get that land conversion. No, it's too many things against us. That's the answer that relies only on our own ability and our own strength and our own ingenuity.
Amen.
And forgets who Christ is.
Right.
And forgets the power of God. Can I remind us this morning of some verses, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all
Amen.
Your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Preacher, I know that verse. I say it. I quoted it. Yeah, but do we live it?
Right.
Do we believe it? Do we believe that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Matthew 19:26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I can see you all getting excited this morning.
Amen.
You see, the only thing that needs to be answered in all of life is this. Is it the will of God?
Amen.
That's it.
That's
it. If we know anything, whether it be me entering into a ministry or you going into some part of ministry service in this church, there's only one question that needs to be answered, and that is it the will of God? Because if it is the will of God, our God will provide.
Amen.
He'll provide.
Right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You see, the disciples' problem was not a problem of need. It was a problem of faith.
Amen.
Which leads me to number three, and we're done. Not only the progress of the disciples, not only the problem with the disciples, lastly, the provision of Christ. You know what's interesting is after Andrew says that, it's interesting, Christ responds to Andrew's suggestion. Notice what he says here. Again, Andrew says, there's a lad here in verse 9 which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And that was just enough for the Lord, enough faith for the Lord to respond.
Amen.
You know, Christ could have fed the multitude any way He pleased.
Amen.
He could have caused, like He did in the Old Testament, quails to come in. He could have caused manna to fall from heaven. He could have just said His word and mounds of food could have piled up before them. He could have done anything He wanted.
Lord, hallelujah.
He was trying to do something with the disciples.
Amen.
Trying to teach them about faith.
Right.
And so what He does is He takes Andrew's mustard seed of faith.
Amen.
And He takes those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Notice we read in verse 10 and 11. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, we had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, Christ provided, by the way. He took what Andrew gave. He took the mustard seed of faith of Andrew. And what did He do? He blessed it and He multiplied it and He miraculously met the need.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It was kind of an important lesson too, how He did it. Look at verse 11. Jesus took the loaves and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down and likewise of the fishes. There's a lesson here. He's teaching the disciples something about Himself. Imagine Jesus Christ sitting on that hillside. And He has these, perhaps in a basket, I'm just using my sanctified imagination. those five fishes and those loaves, and he has his disciples to gather baskets. They all have these big baskets in their arms. And he says, have them sit down in groups. Other gospel records tells us that he sits them down in 50s and 100s and little groups. And here the disciples are with their baskets, and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he miraculously fills up their basket, and they go out and they give it to the people in the groups, and then they come back to Jesus Christ with an empty basket, and he fills it up again, and it happens over and over and over again till they're all filled and there's stuff remaining.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
What's he teaching there? That he is the source of all provision. He is the one that enables us. He is the one that equips us. He is the one that gives us the ability to do things that seemingly are impossible in this world.
Amen.
And all you and I have to do is keep coming back to the source.
That's right.
And he'll fill us up.
Praise the Lord.
And equip us to go out again and fulfill his purpose.
Amen.
In this world. By the way, he's the provision for salvation. No other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. No other way but to come to the source, to realize you're a sinner undone and guilty before a holy God, and Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full. Come to Jesus Christ and you can be saved today. But he's also the provision for service. And this is where most of us mess up. We skip the source. Hey, I got this thing down. I've taught Sunday school for X amount of years. I got it down. I just have to do a little study. I know the story and all that. And what we do is we miss the fact that we need him.
Amen.
And if we will simply give what we have to him, depending upon him, to enable us and equip us, he will enable us again to do great and mighty things.
Amen.
Which thou knowest not.
Amen.
Do you believe that this morning?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, when you and I look at ourselves, I'm with you. I'm like Andrew. I say, what is this? What are these among so many? Where are they? What can God do with a people like Capital Baptist Church? We all have stories. We all have backgrounds. We all have a past. But God has saved us.
Amen.
God has redeemed us.
Amen.
And God can use any of us for his glory if we would just simply take what we have and give it to him and trust him by faith to multiply it in this world.
Praise the Lord.
He'll use you more than you even think he'll use you.
Amen.
More than you can ever imagine. If you simply, and I simply, continually depend upon him and yield ourselves to him.
Amen.
Are you doing that this morning? I hope so. Let's pray together.